I want to read, maybe I'll have to skip about just a little bit here in my reading, but I want to read some things. I want you to listen real close to me and try to stay with me. The anointing for revelation drops, and then I want you to... how many of you know that there's one spirit, many operations? A lot of times I say the anointing of revelation drops, you know, and most people, they take the idea, well, I've got the Spirit of God, and that's revelation, so that's it. So then Brother Pike, he's looked on, you know, like something, some kind of freak, because he preaches different. But I want you to know this morning that there's one Spirit, but many operations. There may be an operation of miracles, there may be an operation of discernment, and there may be an operation of prophecy, there may be an operation of tongues or interpretation or many other things. But there is also an operation of revelation. And the Bible said, pray that God will give unto you the spirit of revelation. Now, if you've got the Spirit of God, and that's all that matters is that you've been born again, then why did Paul say, pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation? He was speaking of another operation. Just like God is a spirit, but in the book of Revelation it says the seven spirits of God before the throne. Now, how many believe God is seven spirits? See, it has to do with the church ages that is ever in the presence of God and the angelic messengers that stand there in the great presence of the Almighty God. Now, so then, if we speak of revelation, the spirit of revelation, I speak of it for this reason. I believe the only gospel is the spirit of revelation. I believe that in my heart. And God has given unto me the spirit of revelation, for which I am very grateful. I'm very thankful. And as Paul said, in my heart, there is much revelation. I love it. I thrill at the thoughts of it. The voice of revelation thrills me beyond measure. I love to see a miracle. I have seen miracles. I love to see discernment. Discernment is wonderful. Brother Bill can vouch for the fact that yesterday discernment was very keen. And just at the very time Satan struck, we spoke of it. And the tears rolled down Bill's cheeks as he spoke to us concerning the fact that he knew that that was the discernment of God. Now, it's wonderful and it's helpful and it's needful. And all of those gifts are in the church and in the members of the body of Christ. But with miracles or whatever, there is nothing that thrills me like the voice of my Heavenly Father in the sound of revelation as He speaks to my heart. It is so marvelous, so wonderful when He speaks to me. I'm thrilled beyond measure. Now, I want to read just a little bit and see that if the Lord will drop us down into that realm of revelation. And if He does, well, I'll be grateful. I'll be real grateful. Now, I want to read just a little bit in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. Remember, this is called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. I've read it to numbers of you. You'll notice it in the first chapter, the first verse, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what we preach, is the Revelation of Jesus Christ. I believe that there's been a lot of moves. There was a move of the law to the Jews. There was a move of grace to the Gentiles. When the law closed out, the Jews went out. Are you going to listen to me this morning? Now, you got a good spirit among you, but I feel your mind's divided, you know. You're not in one mind and one accord. On the day of Pentecost, they were in one mind and one accord. They concentrated. Peter said, look on to us. They concentrated on the man of God, and God did something for them. To hunger and thirst, to collect your thoughts and minds, is to receive the voice of God, in that the Bible tells us it's not the minister speaking, but it's the Heavenly Father speaking from within Him. So I'd like for you to concentrate this morning and see if the Lord will talk with us and see if He'll give us something. I record your spirits. I can be up here and I can be in the mind of revelation and your mind runs off this way and I'll record your spirit. Another person's mind runs off this way and I'll record their spirit. And after a while, it creates a confusion. See up here. Now, I can get over the confusion and go on, but you can't. Because when it starts doing like that, my congregation starts getting like this, just wavering about. And I try to watch you and get you back together. And you're like frightened children. You just, you know, get all nervous. And if you'll just stay with us now and concentrate and pay attention, when we go into the spiritual realms of God, you'll get something, and it'll be a world of difference in it. You'll find out that there's another world that is so close to you, is so very close to you, it would be frightening if you really understood. That's why the tears rolled down Bill's cheek yesterday. As Bill said, "Brother Pike, I'm becoming aware of what you said." He said, "I'm becoming aware." He expressed it in his own means of vocabulary expression, but he said, "I'm becoming aware that that is present out here, and we're right here at it. And it's so shocking and amazing when suddenly it becomes a reality." Is that right, Bill? Bill, a wonderful man of God, very faithful, has been one of the most valuable assets to me that I've ever had. Labors fervently and steadily. He works on a job and then also works up there in the taping room with him and Jim. And I tell you, it's just marvelous what he has done in spreading the gospel, working all night sometimes. Okay, now let's read just a little bit from the book of Revelation. I want to read, I think I'll start at the 14th verse of the 11th chapter. I'll probably have to skip over to some more. "The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power, and hast reigned, and the nations were angry. And Thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that Thou shouldest give reward unto Thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear Thy name small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in His temple the ark of His testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail." Notice reading on down into the 12th chapter. "There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour a child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. To the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seed and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. All right? I want to dwell just a little bit on these things that I've read to you and see if I can bring out some thoughts that might be beneficial to you this morning in the way of the knowledge of God. Now, to begin with, I call the thing that we preach the revelation of Jesus Christ, as all of you know. I call it that because that's what God gave to me and that's what He told me that it was. And that's why I call it the revelation of Jesus Christ. Maybe it would seem strange that at this time the revelation of Jesus Christ would come forth. And maybe it would not seem strange, especially to those that understand. But there has been a move among the Jews in years gone by. And that move had a foundation which was called the law. Upon the law and upon the prophets hang all the commandments of God and all that God does. Whereas we saw this woman that was in the sun founded upon a foundation called the moon. For the Bible said the moon was under her feet. That's really typical, as some of you know and some of you are acquainted with, the fact that America at this time has placed her foot upon the moon, a woman, known as the woman nation. That seems strange, doesn't it? That God would so precisely do something that He would let a nation be referred to as a woman nation, put her in the western part of the world, and then let her be the one out of all of the great nations that it could have been. God has allowed her to be the one to perfect the means of going up into the heavens and putting her feet upon the moon. Isn't that something? Now, if I did not believe that there was a God, when God made known to me these things and revealed to me such things as I'd never heard in my life, never read, never known, and revealed these things to me and showed me the connection between these things as they run in adjacent, after that I would be
compelled to believe that there was a God. Nothing could be so perfect, nothing could coincide so beautifully as these things does, and there not be some supreme power of ingenuity somewhere. So I thank God that he let me understand these things. So the woman stood with her feet upon the moon. The Bible said that the woman was heavy with child, and that she was travailing in birth to be delivered. That at this very moment, that America, if she has ever as a nation went through pains of travail, she's going through them now. I believe the whole earth at this time is in travail and great pain to be delivered, to bring forth the man child. She's going through great birth pains. Now you say, Brother Pike, who is this great man child? The great man child could be none other than the sons of God that the world is waiting to see come forth. And I know the man child is reckoned for as a headship, and I know he's reckoned for as a name, because everything depends on the name. The Bible said we're to have life by believing in his name. So life is in the name, and I know that goes back to the headship, that goes back to Jesus. But I also know that the power of that great move of God, the authority, the government, is resting upon the shoulders of the sons of God, which is the membership in the earth, or what we call the bride of Christ. To God, the great eternal spirit, they are sons. To Jesus Christ, they are a membership of his body, which is called his bride. Is that right? Him being the first brother among many brethren. How many of you following me this morning? All right. Now, I see something wonderful in this. The woman with her feet upon the moon. The earth is in great travail trying to bring forth the sonship, which is the membership of his body. The Bible tells us that the whole earth is travailing and mourning, and it's in a groaning condition. Said that the waves of the ocean and of the sea are just all out of control, because it is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's like a human body that's got cancer, that's got it all out of condition. The Satan being the prince of the powers of the air. How do you know that? The prince, the ruler over the powers that are in the air, is in the world like some dreadful disease, and it's got everything out of kilter. Everything is out of sorts. There's tornadoes, there's earthquakes, there's great tidal waves, and Satan is causing all of this. He's got the world in a stage of convulsion, and the sons of God must correct that thing. We're called to correct the disorders of the earth. I'm glad to be a son of God. I'll tell you what, it thrills my heart and my soul this morning to know that I'm a son of God. And the earth is waiting for the manifestation of these sons of God. Now, not everybody in the earth is sons of God. There is many multiplied people in the earth, hundreds and thousands of people, but not every one of them is a son of God. There is many people in the earth, but not every one of those women that are in the earth are daughters of the Lord. You follow me? The government of God is resting upon the shoulders of these great sons of God, because we are the bride of Christ. It's like a woman, the hair rests upon her shoulder, because she is the other part of the Adam. In other words, Eve being taken out of the side of Adam, she is the other part of Adam. And his control, his authority, his headship, Adam's authority, is resting upon the shoulders of that woman. That's why that a woman dishonoreth her head, which is her husband, when she cuts her hair. It's wrong. Also, when we do away with the glory of God And we want to do our own thing in the world. And we don't want to follow the precision that God has set in the earth. And we lean to our own understanding when God tells us not to lean to our own understanding. And when we run an interruption with God. You follow me? It is because we have rejected God's glory. And when we do it, God is displeased with it. God is not satisfied with that. We've got to do away with that. We've got to get away from our understanding, away from our minds, away from what we think, away from our reasoning. Because when we do that, we are constantly causing a conflict in the church and causing disorder in the church and running into God and God's leadership. We've got to follow the sons of God. The government is upon their shoulder. The earth is travailing, waiting for the manifestation of these great sons of God. Waiting. I see women that are married to sons of God. They grumble and they mumble and they find fault. You ought to be the most thankful thing that ever walked upon the earth to know that you're married to a son of God. That's right, you could have been married to a brute beast and been one with him, one with his body. If I was a woman, you knowing what I know, you'd never get me to marry anybody but a son of God. I'd never be bone of the bone and flesh of the beast out yonder. I'd never cater to the things of the world. You better believe I know that he was a man of God when I married him. And I'll tell you what, of course I know you can't walk off and leave him when you're married to him. But if it had been any way to unbridge the thing, if I'd have been married to anybody else, I'd have unbridged it as quick as I could. Found me a son of God. That's right. Because I know when you tie the knot, it's tied. That's it. You follow me? So then the government rests upon our shoulders. And when we lean to our own understanding, that is the same thing as the woman reasoning in her mind and not listening to what the man tells her to do. I don't care how good a thought the woman has. It doesn't make any difference. That's not the order of God. That's not the order of the church. God doesn't want that. The man is the headship. He might be wrong in his decision, but he's still the headship. And the woman, if she's a wise woman and she realizes her headship is wrong, instead of rebuking him and reproving him and telling him how ignorant he is, she'll try to use a little wisdom as she loves him. The Bible said he can be won over by her chaste conversation coupled with fear. If he's an unbeliever, win him over and indoctrinate him by submission. And after a while, have a great leadership, maybe a great person. But God will not suffer the woman to teach a man. Paul said, I suffer not the woman to teach a man to have authority over the man. That's wrong, Paul said. You can't do that. Since when does the church teach Christ? Since when does the church take authority over Jesus Christ? You can't do it. Now, somebody said, well, that to me, Brother Pike, that shows a respect between the male and the female. But it doesn't. It's just God's way. Now, I know a lot of times we use this thought. You know, women that want to preach, and God hasn't called women to preach, but they want to preach, and they use this little theme. They say, well, in the spirit, there's neither male nor female. I know that. That is absolutely a fact. But did you know the only way to get in the spirit is in the Word? And the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God the Spirit. And God the Spirit says the only way for you to be in the Spirit is to be one with your head. And when you get one with your head, then there's neither male nor female. You are equal with your head through your head. And when something has to be expressed, it is to be expressed through your head. Wouldn't I look funny if I walked around here somewhere and I went to speak to some of you and instead of my head speaking, my hand said, shut up, I got something to say. I can make motions with my hands, you know, and we do all kind of things, you know. You understand what I'm saying? Now, Paul said some of us are the feet, some of us are the hands, some of us are other parts, and Jesus is the head. Is that right? There's a headship to every family. All right, now, let's look at it for just a few minutes. Here's this woman standing on the moon. A great thing to be seen. Never before, anything like it. All of a sudden, there it is. Why did God allow this to happen in the end of the world? According to the book of Revelation, this woman that was seen, if you notice, I read that she was seen immediately after the sounding of that seventh angel. How have you understood that? I read and the Bible said that the seventh angel sounded, and then, behold, the woman was standing with her feet upon the moon. Is that right? You believe that? How do you believe it? All right, now, Brother Branham, they say with the seventh angel. Now, immediately after the sounding of the seventh angel, there was the woman standing upon the moon. Now, here is America, standing upon the moon. Standing upon the moon, her feet upon the moon. The woman, the world in travail, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful revelation. What a shocking thing it is to be able to uncover and see exactly what God was saying in here. A lot of times in preaching, we drop just a little bit here and a little bit there. But how wonderful, how beautiful to be able to have the mind of God and see what was really taking place in this great thing. Here the woman is standing upon the moon, in travail, waiting to bring forth the sonship. America being typical of it, yet we understand that that woman in reality was the Jewish nation over yonder that's waiting for their great leader to come, as it was with King David, waiting for that great leader. Like Paul preached to them, when he said that they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and then after that he spoke of about 450 years until Samuel that God gave them, Judges, and then after that he spoke of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was typified by their great King David after 40 years of reign with Saul. And here we see, typically speaking, that all of these things have taken place. And I read to you here that this great sounding was just before the tribulation period. It said when this angel sounded that this woman all of a sudden went away into a wilderness where there was a place prepared for her for a time's time and half a time, which was 3.5 years, which was the tribulation period or the regime of the Antichrist. But you notice that she went away into the wilderness right at the very moment that the man-child was caught up and the woman's feet was upon the moon. I know you don't see that. But anyway, at the very time that the woman's feet was upon the moon, the man-child was caught up. Now, I made the statement not too long ago. The woman was in the second heaven. It was obvious that she was in the second heaven. You say, why do you say she was in the second heaven? Because how could the man-child be caught up to another place if there wasn't another place? Paul spoke of the third heaven. That means that the woman was in the second heaven. And you that are Bible scholars or understand the revelation, you know what we teach concerning that. I said that the law and the prophets were under her feet. Under her feet, the moon rim, a reflector, a lesser light. That light that Paul spoke of when he looked back at Moses and he said, this light was a lesser light. This light was a veil light. A light where Moses had a veil over his face, and the people could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was given. Is that right? Now, that had to do with Jesus, when God was within the veil. And when Jesus came to the Jews, and God within the veil, the Jews could not steadfastly look beyond the cup of the sun. And the Bible said they were always offended, saying that we know that this is the son of Joseph. You understand what I'm saying? And they couldn't steadfastly see to the end of it. But then when the Christ came up, then when the resurrection came up, the brightness that was brighter than the noonday sun, when the first fruits of them that slept rose out of the grave, and the saints of God that was bound under the law or the lesser light found a freedom and broke from the graves and got up and walked about the town, then there came forth a people that was able to receive the revelation of Jesus Christ, which was the unveiled glory of the living God. Which glory? changes us into the immortal image and presence of God. You follow me? Differentiating between the Lord and the Christ. Here the woman was on the moon, the second heaven, the law, the prophets under her feet. The Bible said we're built upon the foundation of the law and the prophets. Is that right? How many of you understand that? God showed John these things. Who's built upon the foundation of the law and the prophets? Paul said, we are. Who are we? We're the woman that's in travail, that's bringing forth the great man-child. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. Little children, I travail again till Christ be formed within you. This outer person that's unredeemed, that's numbered with the church world or with humanity, this outer woman waiting for the redemption of the body is carrying the child within the womb of the heart. Whereas the Bible said the salutation of Mary caused the babe to leap within the womb of the mother that was carrying John the Baptist when the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, came in. And so it is that we're carrying within our heart this little babe called Christ. That's why that we ought to be so careful, folks. We ought to be so careful. We might feel big on the outside. We might feel intellectual on the outside. We might feel that we've got ability and talents and securities. But that little Christ within you, how old is he? Has he been nourished? Has he been cherished as a little babe? Are you watching over him? If not, evil communication, corrupt good manners. Somebody drop something into your listening ears. Somebody say something out here, and it'll smother that little child to death because he hasn't grown up. He's a little fella. He's not very big. He's just the seed of life in there, you might say. You understand what I'm saying? But when we travail, when we swear to our own hurt, when we leave off with the pleasures of the outer man and leave off with the frolics of the body, and we hide ourselves away in that day when they were taken after the manner of women, they would hide themselves away according to the Bible until the time of their deliverance. Women were shamefaced, and they would hide themselves away until the time of their deliverance. You understand what I'm saying? We are hid with Christ in God, whom the Bible said the heavens have received until the time of the restoration of all things. Hid away, like Solomon said when Solomon got into the Spirit of God, and it was such a great spirit of love. He said, oh God, he said, thy love surpasses the love of women. And he began to say, my beloved, began to talk to him, and the voice said, come away with me, my beloved. Come away with me. Hallelujah. The voice of the eternal heard in the land. And he called, come away with me. Come away with me. The smell of sweet shrubs in the trees. And so it is at this time. There is a great anointing. There is an aroma that's coming up. There is something beautiful. There is a joy that's springing up. The Bible said, now has come power. Now has come strength. When the man-child was caught up into the mind of God, then Satan was cast out into the earth. And brethren, God is doing something in the mind of Christ is in the earth. And people are beginning to recognize that they've been caught up with God. Yes. Hallelujah. Somebody would say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean this one thing. There is something that's taking place that the world doesn't see. When I go off from here, a lot of times I don't preach Revelation the way I preach it to you people here. God is doing a specific thing. A babe was born in Bethlehem. Said, let us call his name them Jesus only. Hallelujah. Love the Lord. And all that are called by my name. Hallelujah. So then, and ye shall have life, John said, through his name. Now then, I see something that is outstanding, something that's taking place. The outer woman is travailing. The outer woman is in pain to be delivered. She's oppressed. The church world is cast down. They feel like they can't go any farther. But brethren, let me tell you, we've been born again. We've had another birth. And at that birth, we was caught up to heaven and hid with God in Christ. You say, but Brother Pike, why are we in the condition we're in? Because we haven't recognized it. We haven't seen it. We haven't taken a hold of it. We don't know who we are. But when it comes abroad, when it comes abroad, you say, what do you mean? I mean when it comes abroad that the mind of Christ has been perfected in that babe. All of a sudden that babe that's hid with away with God, which is in the womb or the bosom of the Father, that babe is going to come to a maturity. And then at that maturity, though we've already had our new birth, potentially speaking through Christ, and we've been caught up with Him, yet the great wound is waiting to present, to bring forth, during the travail, the great sons of God. And so then the woman, which is this outer person, is travailing and waiting for that child to come forth. Though sometimes, Bill, we feel that babe leap in the womb when the Holy Ghost starts moving. And we shout and we jump like in a vision last night. I saw people jumping. I mean, they were jumping because something was taking place. Heard a voice night before last. I heard voices say, Atlanta is gone. I heard it kept saying, Atlanta is gone. God had rejected her. I'm glad God hasn't rejected us. Hallelujah. Travailing in birth to be pain to be delivered. And Paul said, little children, I travail again until Christ be formed within you. Moving from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation, into the glorious image of God. And the Bible said, hereby we're changed into the glorious image, in that we are predestinated before the world ever was to conform to the image of the Son of God, to escape the image of the beast. For He said in the morning, I will despise thine image. If we are in the image of the beast, or the fall of mankind through the first man Adam, and if we're not born again and regenerated, we will be found in the despised image of that which God has rejected and nailed to Calvary. If we're found in that image, He said, in the morning. I reckon time from evening till morning, you know. And the Lord said, it shall be from the evening till the morning, and then it was the first day. And then at the bright dawning, for in the morning, He said, in the morning when I look upon you, I shall despise thine image. But if we are born, not a bastard child, but born to the seed of our heavenly Father, then we'll be His praise in the morning. Hallelujah. What man could praise a son that's not in his image, not the seed of his own reproduction? What mother could be happy knowing that she was a harlot and a betrayer to the Father? But in the morning, how beautiful. For the Bible said as soon as the son was born, the man child, God raptured him up into His arms. Isn't that wonderful? The travail of the western world, of the woman being over as she stands with her feet upon the moon. And I made the statement, going down in a racial conflict of bloodshed and problems and disorder, while there's coming forth the man child from within the church world to be caught up right over yonder to Jerusalem. David going up, the rapture, going over the tribulation period, the Ark of Noah, crossing the Jordan and coming down, sitting down upon the throne of David to establish the millennium for 1,000 years in this present world as the sons of God become the government. Hallelujah. And when the presidents and the kings and the queens come down from their lofty throne and the sons and daughters of God move up to it, and take the government to establish the order of God in this world. You understand what I'm saying? So then with the travail, the woman with her feet on the moon, and here we are at this very place and this very time of life, waiting. That's why that all of these trips are being made to Jerusalem now. Never before has church tours been set up like they are now. But in a continuation, there are church tours that's going to Jerusalem, indicating the birth of the man child and the catching up, that something is taking place. You follow me? Now let's look at it for just a few minutes. Look at Calvary. Where was this woman? Who is this woman? We know that it's the Jew as far as the natural membership, but we know it's Jesus otherwise. The Bible said when that angel of God came and he set one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, had within his hands a little book. John took the book, but over the head of this angel there was a great covenant. There was a great rainbow. It was like the sun shined within his strength, as though he stood within pillars of cloud. This great angelic being that gave forth the command of the last seven thunders, the revealing mysteries of God. Who was he? The Lord himself, as he stood or hang upon Calvary, and as his vesture turned into blood. Revelation 19 said, and he with his vesture dipped in blood shall come. And there he is hanging upon Calvary with his vesture dipped in blood. And here at Calvary we see the great defeat of Satan. We see the fulfillment of what Brother John was saying on the Isle of Patmos. Just a few short years after Calvary, this same John that walked with Jesus, that talked with Jesus, God took him away in the spirit of love and took him over into the Isle of Patmos, separated him, and said, John, I want to give you the revelation of Jesus Christ and let you understand what took place at Calvary. And I want you to record it so my son George and my son Jimmy and my son Gary and my son Brother Taylor and others can read it in the end time. And then when I take away the veil and bring to pass these things, and they see that it's exactly the way that I spoke, they can compare it line upon line, precept upon precept, and see that it's the same God, the same foundation of the law and the prophets. Who stood upon that foundation? We, the woman, the law and the prophets, ringing in Israel. But who was the woman? It was Jesus. Jesus, the fleshly part, travailing till the headship be born, just as you and I travail until the membership part of us is born, for we know in part. Whatever part we represent, we travail until that part of the body is born and come forth. And so it was with Jesus being the head, travailing until the inner Christ, who is the head of the church, should come forth. And so there at Calvary, it's such a beautiful thing. John getting this book of Revelation immediately after Calvary, it was nothing more or less than the unveiling of the act of Calvary. How many believe that's true? Let's just look at it a little further and see if that's true. As Jesus hung there, the vesture dipped in blood, the Bible said that the veil was rent in twain. Is that right? It was rent in twain. We brought it out a number of times, differentiating between the Christ and between the Jesus, the separation of the two. The Lord and the Christ were separated. Two, twain. The separation, rending of the twain. Why? To show that you and I have been rent in twain. Every person that's born again has been rent in twain. For we are the body of the Lord Jesus, bone of his bone, and flesh of his flesh. You say, how can we be rent in twain, Brother Pike? Our inner spirit has been taken out of our outer body, and that inner spirit has been caught up to God. You follow me? And is hid with Christ in God, in the Spirit. God is the Spirit. Our spirit is hid within the Spirit. That's what it means. Our spirit is hid. At death, the Spirit goeth back to God who gave it. I am dead, Paul said, reckon yourselves to be dead by the body of Jesus Christ at Calvary. I am baptized for the dead. In the name I have life. I am baptized for the dead, the putting away of the old man, the covenant of Abraham, the circumcision, the doing away of the foreskin, which is the outer part. For Paul said, rend not your garments, but your heart. They used to rend the garment as a signification that someday God would rend the outer skin that was put over the man from the fall in the garden. The Bible said God clothed them with skin and beast. You follow me? Now then, the Bible said unto everyone, every firstborn that opens the matrix shall be called holy unto the Lord. Hallelujah. You understand? There is a rending. There is a birth. There is a firstborn that has the birthright of God. Hallelujah. Not Adam, not that which is natural, not Leah, but Rachel. You follow me? In other words, there come a natural beast image, the firstborn to the world. But like Jacob and Esau, we're the firstborn of the Spirit. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, they're the firstborn. They get the birthright. They do. They get the husk. They get the husk. The Bible says the swines fill their belly with the husk. They belong to the world. That's Esau's land. The Bible said, pass through it, pay away. The world belongs to them. Education belongs to them. The fine colleges and cathedrals belong to them. The understanding, the doctors, all of that belongs to them. The money, the wealth. They're the firstborn in the natural. They got the birthright. They got the wealth. It's where the bond child comes in. The Arabs has got it. But let me tell you, there is another one. He is the second one. I said he's the second one. He looks like he wouldn't have the birthright because it's to the first. But the Bible said Esau sold his birthright for a morsel of bread. Those people are willing to frolic along the beaches and have the finer things of life. But the Bible said Moses chose to suffer the afflictions of the righteous rather than enjoy sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad when he said, come away with me, my love? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I feel something in my heart. Hallelujah. So then, we see this great thing. There is another one. There is another one. Jesus appeared to be the firstborn, and he was the firstfruits of them that slept. But being made in the likeness of sin, God showed the end of Esau, showed the end of the flesh, the end of that which was worldly, and fastened him to a cross, and we esteemed him smitten of God. But a Christ, a rending of the veil, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto the outer man and unto sin and the things of the world, because they are the baptized. Are baptized for the dead. It's a burial, it's a grave, and it's no longer you that live. For the veil is rent in twain, and the Jesus part that was made sin has been laid down in the grave. But at the rending of the veil, the inner spirit, the inner Christ, the birth, that which was inside, has come forth, and it's caught up to the throne. When you're born again, it went up to God. The veil was rent. Christ, Jesus travailed and the Christ was born. We travail and the Christ is born. The membership, whatever it might be, I might be just a little tiny bit of it, but that membership of whatever part I am, it comes out and it's born, hallelujah. It comes forth to the travail. You say, what is the travail, Brother Pike? If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. But I'm glad that though we be miserable in travail, swearing to our own hurt, turning away from the things of the world that our flesh calls for and our body calls for. You understand what I mean? Turning away from that, that's a travail. That's a dying of the old man through fasting, through prayer, through swearing to your own hurt, turning away from your own feelings and own desire. And after a while, a little fellow begins to move around on the inside. Hallelujah. And when that mother begins to think about that little feller that's hid within the womb, the travail isn't as bad then, because she knows there's life. Now if there was death in there, she'd be all tore up. But when she knows there's life, she gets away by herself and she begins to cuddle that thought that someday I'll hold him in my arms. Someday I'll have him in my arms as life and that. Someday that little child is going to be mine. I'll be able to, you know, clothe him and see him run about, and little girl or boy, whatever. Someday. See, and we cherish that thought as the babe moves within the wound of our heart. Then we cherish the thought that somewhere this life, the rending of the veil, the coming forth of whatever membership part that you represent. You follow me? So then, the travail of life, the sorrows of life. But I'm glad Paul said that I am persuaded to believe that that the things of this world and the heartaches and the troubles, the woes are not to be compared with that which is to be revealed within us at the coming of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we take just a few more minutes? All right, now, the woman with the feet upon the moon, the great America. I know there's a calamity at hand. Some psychic predicted this year that Russia would attack us. Brother Branham says 77 prediction. That's the chaos. Yet, according to the scripture, there's a 3.5 year travail where the Jews is hid away. Going perhaps into the valley of Petra, they're hid away. For the Bible said that the woman, after that she had travailed and brought forth the man child, that she fled away into the wilderness for a time and a half. Now you say, why was that, Brother Pike? Because in the Old Testament, when they brought forth their firstborn, there was a certain period of purification that she had to go through before she could ever return to her husband. And so then, going away into this great place and hiding away, we see something in that. While she's hid away there, the two prophets come on the scene and they begin to indoctrinate this woman concerning the Christ. Israel hid away. And then comes the two wings of a great eagle, which are those prophets, to pick her up. God likens his prophets to eagles. How many of you know that? And those great wings of the great prophets, the eagles, pick her up and take her away into that place. Just like America, for instance. When America fled from the old country, you know what happened? She became the eagle nation. God brought her into a wilderness, and we today, though this is the wilderness, yet we call it the new world. Is that right? Turned it into a new world. So then, when the tribulation period is over, then the woman comes back out. For the child has been born, the days of her purification are over. As she comes out of it, she has to go through the time of her purification, depending on whether it was a male child or whether it was a female child. Going through those 7 days or 7 stages of that purification. We brought something out concerning it not too long ago, concerning the church ages. How that after the travail of Calvary, it had to go through that time, come down through the church ages and do the purification so before the woman could ever return to her husband. Though the church was set up at Calvary, and the child was caught up at Calvary, because this is what's taking place. Jesus at Calvary, and the woman travailing, and the son being caught up. But the days of her purification, going through it. And then in the Revelation, it is recorded immediately after Calvary. But we don't find it until after the days of the purification. You follow me? Way over here, after the days of the purification, we start preaching the book of Revelation. It's been a closed book to men down through the years. And all of a sudden now, the book comes open. I believe the reason for that is because the Jews had the law and the prophets. The Gentiles went through their day of grace. When the days of the Jews was over, God left them. Is that right? He turned over to the Gentile people. Is that right? Grace. Are you following me? How do you believe Abraham and Moses said Moses to the Jew? Follow me? Who opened the door to the Gentiles? The first pope. Are you listening? Not really. But that's what they call him, Peter. The days of the Gentiles. Then came the revelator, Paul. You follow me? I know you don't. Some of you don't. But some of you are getting some ideas. What happened? Then came the revelator. But the revelator said, when he came, he said, now, it's going to be different. I blame you to your face, Peter, because you'll be blamed. But I'm born out of season. So let the Gentiles have their day. But when this is over, And when the Gentiles' days is closed, then not only will the first heaven be passed, which was God with the Jews on this earth in the presence of a lesser light, within a veil called the law, an intellectual, beastly understanding that had developed from the tree of the garden experience. But here it came in a greater measure in the second heaven in the days of grace as Peter led the way, and it was called the Roman Catholic Church, whereas the church in America is nothing but Catholic. And we'll go back to the mother. You follow me? And that light was grace. But then when the days of grace was over, there was to come the spirit of the book of Revelation, Saint John the Divine. For God is love. And God said to me years ago, so the last message in the earth will be charity to the capstone. That will capstone the pillar. For it shall be God himself, it shall be charity, the voice that shall resurrect the dead. The sounding of that trump of the last angel, the mistress of God, was finished. The trump of God was sounding, and the Bible said that the dead came forth out of the grave. Where did that happen? At Calvary, when Jesus hung upon Calvary, and he said, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, cried, O God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then with that trump, as it sounded, the graves broke open, and people that had been bound unto death by the powers of the law, because the law brought sin and death, because sin gets its strength by the law. But when he conquered the law and fulfilled the law and gave forth his proclamation and his message and sounded, the graves could no longer hold the dead, and the graves opened up, and the Bible said the saints of God rose up out of the ground and walked through the city. They said, what are you saying, Brother Pike? Something's happening. Brother Branham said just before the coming of the Lord, said, you just watch him begin to get up. Now, so then, Paul said, I'm born out of season. It's for a later date. There's something coming in a later date. What is it? If the law is the first heaven and that was the foundation of the woman, her soul of the feet, the soul was resting upon the foundation. Now, what was the next part of it? There was to come grace, which was the dispensational age of grace. You say, where was that? That was that brighter light that began to break forth. For the Bible says she stood in the light of the sun. There, standing in the brightness of the second heaven, she gave forth her travail. The church today is in the second heaven. It's in the days of grace, and God is with them in the earth. It's the days of the second heaven. Oh, I wish we had time to go into that and break it down step by step. Law until Calvary, and after that, the priesthood coming in, which is the Catholic Church, bringing it into the second veil, or into the second rim, which is called the holy place, and then the third book coming up, which is the book of Revelation, rending the veil and going into the very holies of holies, the high priest himself. So then, in the second heaven, but God didn't leave that little child in the second heaven. Ooh, that does something to me. Hallelujah. That woman had a good time. She shouted and she jumped and she hollered, knowing that the time of her delivery was nigh, and she was going to cuddle that little child. My, what a time Mary must have had. Mary must have had a joyful time, and Elizabeth, for the great prophet of God was being brought forth in the life of Elizabeth. The angel had set a great man of God, and she was the carrier for it. And then Mary must have had a great time. And the world today has had a shouting revival. Brother Allen and many others have come. There's been a shouting revival. And in her second heaven, she's had a great time. But the second heaven wasn't good enough for this child. There was a child that was coming forth, a headship of the nations, a knowledge of mind and understanding that was going to shake the very foundations of hell itself. Following the second one, though the sun was shining and the woman stood in the sun. Isn't that beautiful? It said the woman stood in the sun. And the sun was beautiful. That's wonderful. In the days of grace, the Spirit of God comes down upon us, Jim. And we stand and bathe in the beautiful brightness of the sun. But there was a difference a little later on in the book of Revelation. There was a difference when the man came with the vesture dipped in blood. There was a difference. For John said, I saw him and the sun shined within his strength. He wasn't in the presence of the sun. That's grace. But he had the sun shine in him. He was born to the brightness of the sun. He was the sun. Hallelujah. From him radiated life. It's one thing to be in the presence of life. It's another thing to be the radiation of life itself. You follow me? A lot of stars in the heavens and signs say some of them are reflectors. They look just like other stars. But we're told that there are stars that are not wandering stars. The church world in general is in the presence of God. So are many stars in the presence of the great light. But the Bible said some of these are wandering stars of whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Someday they'll go out. The revival will be over to them. But these other stars are little suns. How many of you know the sun is a star? 110 times bigger than the earth. But the little stars, that sunship, they don't go into darkness. You follow me? These are not reflectors. Brother, they are the light. Jesus said, ye are the light of the earth. Hallelujah. The sun is the light. But he said, you're the light. In case the sun happens to stop, said, you can carry on till I get back. You follow me? Somebody said, when did that ever happen? The Bible said the sun became as dark as sackcloth of hair. Why did that happen? Why did the veil come over the sun? Because Jesus was God. You follow me? And sin was that veil, that middle wall of partition that had to be rent. You understand? And at that time, that middle wall of partition was prevailing. You follow me? So the sun was out. When Jesus died, the light of the world went out, my brother. But when he broke forth from the bowels of the earth, came out and stood up, the sun had to take a bow. It unveiled itself, and the light of the grace of God, the light of the glory of his unveiled face began to shine forth. And the first fruits of them that slept came forth from the dark regions of the damned. Delivered for my offenses, bruised for my transgressions because I offended, but was delivered from death and come up from the bowels of the earth to show the world of my justification, raised for my justification, delivered for my offenses, my transgressions, the penalty of death, and then raised as a positive proof that there had been peace on earth and goodwill toward man. That death had been conquered, sin by one man, life by another man. Death was over us by the law. But when he conquered the law and folded up, saying that which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away. Then he came forth in the brightness of the noonday sun, having folded up death, taken away the veil, and then stood up. And today man does not have to die. You follow me? Death came by man, life came by man. We don't have to die. That's over and gone. Somebody said, now what are you saying? If you'll give me a few more minutes, I'll explain it. What are you saying to the pipe? I mean that when Jesus hung at Calvary, that was the end of death. Death, the last enemy to be conquered, but God conquered it. Shortened the days for my sake and your sake, the elect's sake. At Calvary, the travail was over. The child was born. Instigated in the mind of God before the world ever was. Manifested at Calvary as a finished product. But could not be comprehended until the end time. For to comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width, Paul said, is to become a son of God and to accept and enjoy your inheritance. And the child was caught up to the third heaven. Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the third heaven, the mind of God itself. The unveiled mysteries and the finishing. You follow me? The thunders uttered their voices. Seven thunders uttered their voices. I want you to see this. When the thunders uttered their voices, then something took place. In the utterance of the seven thunders, as they broke forth, where was them seven thunders? Where did they take place? At what time? At Calvary, at the different times of Calvary. It was there that the rocks were rent in twain. It was there that the bowels of the earth opened and released the Son of God. Because the Bible said it was not possible that he should be holden of the powers of the strings of death. And he came out. You follow me? The pangs of death could not hold him. So then the thunders. What is thunder? When we hear the thunder roll, we know that there's a storm coming up. We know there's some kind of something that's going on in the heavenlies. The thunder. And the Bible said, John took the little book. Are you listening? And seven thunders uttered the voice. Then he said, take the book, John, and eat it. It reminds me of the other day when I gave them white gloves to Brother Hollis. Revelation was taking place. Down here we was talking about the angel of God and how the angel of the Lord appeared to him and had something in his hand. I took it just like John did. But I thought about it as we talked about it down here. And while we was talking, remember Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. You follow me? And while we were talking, I was watching something take place. And Brother Mitch had gotten a hold of some gloves from his dad or his wife's dad that had come down from Indiana working at the Ford place. Brought these gloves down, give them to Gilbert, and Gilbert gave me the white pair of gloves which I gave to Brother Hollis. Mitch coming from Indiana, having to do with the place called the Open Door. I said that he was typical of the Open Door. That's why he's still around Jordan. You understand? They're changing Jordan. I predicted that they'd put a four lane out here, which they're doing. They're changing it now. You follow me? Kind of rending it in twain. But anyway, Mitch stands right there. A man standing in that position has a lot of problems. If you don't watch out, double-mindedness will get him. Because he has a lot of problems. But he has to go through it because that's the ordination of God for his life. Until the travail is over. And then he'll come out the right thing. Being caught between the Brother Branham message coming from Indiana. Caught between this, he's just like this. In spite of all he can do. People pull at him up yonder on that side. His brethren pull at him down here and it's like that. But one day, they'll come together and they'll see that they're all one. And the body will come to the spirit. There'll be a resurrection. There'll be a change. Something will take place. And the travail will be over. How many of you follow me? So then the white gloves came I gave them to Brother Hollis. And I'd been watching some things take place. Brother Hollis and I was standing there talking about his difference between him and brother that was with him down in Florida. You know, that was leading the crusade. You remember the 10 tribes and the things that I spoke of? The 10 lost tribes, I remember them. And then the families coming down from Carolina, 10 families, I remember them. See, the spirit and the body coming together in the soul realm, which was here in Little Bethlehem. You follow me? Went down to the very place where the angel of God appeared to me, right where the Lord showed me Brother Branham's death and how I live, and then took me over into Miami, put the ring on my finger, and then the angel of God appeared to me. You follow me? Now, of course you know the word Florida comes from flow, like flower, flow, the sap flowing out. You understand what I'm saying? The fountain opened the house of David. Ponce de Leon discovered something down there called the Fountain of Youth over in Augustine, St. Augustine, somewhere in that area. Now, long in there, they just put it, believe it or not. Have you ever been down there? That's the way the world is, you know. You believe it or not, he did it. How many remember this fountain out here in front of the house when it come from Ponce de Leon Avenue in Atlanta, Georgia? You probably done forgot all about it. Have you noticed? It's been put out there. It's proved to work, but it hasn't been finished to what it's going to do. It'll be beautiful when it's finished. You understanding? In the vision that I saw, the little pond, the little pool, James and John around it, in the vision of the Lord, the rapture took place. Some of you don't understand. But anyway, with the gloves, here I gave him the white gloves. These gloves typified the ministry, the fivefold ministry, in the form of the commandments of the 10 that I gave to him. Now, we were talking about his battle and his conflict, speaking of present day revelation now, present day truth, Paul called it, down in Florida. Now, there's a name that goes with menace. You don't understand. But anyway, a lot of times we can think God's doing one thing when he's doing another. But there was a battle. Thunders mean there's a battle. And so there was a battle. Now, in the battle, how many know that you can be a menace? That's right, to the work of God and not be aware of it. If you don't listen to the truth and follow the truth, is what you are. So then there was a battle. One stood for women preachers. One stood for that side, which of course had to do with Brother Branham indirectly speaking, not women preachers, but the bride side, where we're talking about the sonship, which is the head side of it. Jews being the head of the nation, because the woman is the bride side, you see. The world being under will be the bride side, while the Jews is the head of the nation. But we who are spiritual will excel that, and we'll be the head side, the spirit, to the Jews, which are still natural side. That'd take a lot of explaining, but just try to understand what I'm saying. So then, they had their battle. They had their battle. Finally, Brother Hollis decided that this was it. And he came to it and witnessed to it. When I gave him those gloves, we were talking about the changeover, the death of Brother Branham, the ring being put on my finger in the darkness, and then the light coming, where we was out of the veil. When the man weds the woman, she's in a veil. Have you know in the Old Testament, the woman had to have a veil over her face? How are you going to listen just a few more minutes here? All right, she had a veil over her face. See, she's supposed to be shamefaced. And when Rebekah came over to Isaac, she had the veil over her face. Quick as she saw him, she pulled the veil down. Well, you know that Moses had a veil over his face. Whereas the Bible said the same veil is still over the heart of the people in the reading of the Old Testament, untaken away. Speaking of the Jews and them that are without, which veil is rent in twain or done away with, consumed with the brightness of the revelational coming of God in the mind of Christ. The woman, she, when she is out there unmarried to the man, she has a veil. This veil is her carnal reasoning, her carnal mind. And she veils herself. And she keeps that veil in the presence of her husband. Like we're not redeemed in the body until we comprehend the redemption. See, that's a veil. That veil is between that brightness of our Heavenly Father and us. You understand? Which typified the body of sin, which is Jesus, to keep us from being consumed. That veil stands there of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for that, we'd be consumed with the brightness of His coming. But He protects us with the veil. And then when the woman weds the man, the Lord Himself came and slipped a ring on my finger. Then I was in the darkness, laying in the darkness. I couldn't see anything. I was helpless. I couldn't move because it signified the age of the woman. I was helpless. She's helpless. She's in sin. She represents sin. She's in darkness until the day that she finds her headship. And so then, here it was. I was in darkness. I was in travail there, laying on the bed, so to speak, and He slipped the ring on my finger. And then, when He did, all of a sudden the veil of night disappeared, and it was like the brightness of the noonday sun. And I looked, and I saw Him face to face. There He stood in the brightness of the noonday, standing, looking at me, having whatever it was in His hands, looking at me. When the woman comes in, taken into the mother's secret chamber, which was the tenth into the secret of God, he that abideth under the shadow of the veil of the Almighty shall dwell in the revelation of the secret place of the Most High. And so then, when the ring was put on my finger, see, we're getting close to the wedding. The bride has made herself ready. She's got the righteous garments of the Son of God not being found in her own righteousness, but the righteousness of the Son of God, which is faith in the redemption where the blood was spilled at Calvary. The Bible said in the book of Revelation, when John got this revelation where Jesus Christ died and Jesus said it's finished, John through the eyes of the Spirit beheld Him as He hung upon Calvary. And when he saw Jesus finish it, he said, the bride has made herself ready. We're complete in Him. And then the revelation was to be comprehended in the end time. Though it was already perfected, though it was already made, yet the Son was under tutors, could not come into the sonship different, nothing from a servant, couldn't have the redemption of the body and enjoy the power and the wealth of all creation as owner of it, but was under tutors till the time appointed to the Father. And though this was the appointed time of the Father, which was Calvary, for the Bible said that He heard them in a day, accepted a time appointed. And He looked down and He heard the groaning of the prisoners and loosed them that was appointed unto death. Broke the bonds of death. And though it was a time appointed, yet our appointment as children. Remember, the birth is always the head first. And then coming through the travail of the seven church ages, when the birth is finished over here in the comprehension, that is to say, if the revelation started with Paul the Apostle, signifying a headship of those seven dispensational angels, as it came on down, it had to end with somebody somewhere, that the mysteries of God might be finished, and the child was to come forth in his fullness. And when the comprehension of the revelation was in its entirety and in its completeness, in that we're complete in Him, and we recognize it through faith of Calvary, when we come to the divine comprehension, the heights, the depths, the width, to wit the redemption of our body, for the body itself is the purchased possession, and the body itself is the man-child that's in the image of God. And if the headship was born at Calvary and you're a membership, and we've come through the seven ages where it said in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, cut down the tree, let seven times pass over it, which was the Jewish people, and leave the roots and let it grow again. Then we are in the time of the fig tree putting forth her buds and the fig tree coming back up. And we're in the time of the redemption of the body. For the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be? But life from the dead. Here we are, the redemption of the body, which is the purchased possession, which is the man-child himself being caught up into the same place that we're already in as far as our spirit is concerned. Now then, it's becoming a revelation. We've been there by the act of Christ through new birth. But now, my brethren, we are learning it up here. We are getting it up here. We're getting the mind of God in this now. This body now is conforming to it. We're understanding here that's redemption of the outer man. It's coming forth. It's not just a spiritual hope and a faith. It's becoming a knowledge and a redemption. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. And we're changed from glory to glory. Paul said from revelation to revelation, from part to part, into the glorious image of the Son of God. Are you listening? I'm going to close in a few minutes. Just hold on just a little bit longer. I am going to close in just a few minutes. All right, now, so then they have this battle. Brother Hollis was down here, and while he was down there, I gave him those gloves. When I gave him the gloves, all of a sudden, I was talking to him about the changeover, his battle, the old going out, and the little Samuel being born while we were down there, when the light had gone out in the temple of God. And there was where Brother Hollis withstood the woman preaching thing and opened another light as little Samuel. You follow me? Another light, the revelation of Jesus Christ standing for the truth. And there it was, coming forth. And just as I gave him the gloves, out of the ceiling, you know, we haven't put the ceiling in down there, out of the ceiling dropped Brother C.B. right down. Brother Godwin's son. In the law. You understand what I'm saying? He dropped down. When I did that, I said, oh my God, that's it, Brother Hollis, right there. I said, the gospel going back to the Jews, and then the coming of the little book, because his name means little book, and it dropped down in the volume of the book. Right there, just as a Jew got. You understand what I'm saying? A lot would have to tie in with that, but I believe you understand. Drop down. The changeover. Going back to the Jews. The days of the Gentiles fulfilled. Folks, in the middle of this year, the second heaven potentially goes out. You follow me? The days of grace over. The days of the Gentiles finish. The American government is at an end. No government has ever stood over 200 years of the history of mankind. There's no proof of any standing government. And this one will not excel the 200 years. It will go out. That means that just before that one goes out, it has always been God's way that another one was breaking. The dawn of something else was breaking just before the sunset of another. And already I can see it out. I can see it coming in. The mind of Christ is breaking. The government of the great, wonderful sons of God is coming on the scene in a little place called Bethlehem. People are lifting up your head, for the Bible said, lift up thine head. Hallelujah, which is Jesus the Christ, the message, the revelation. For thy redemption draweth nigh. So then, there was the battle. Just hold on a minute, I'm closing. There was the battle. And that battle was at Calvary. And that battle brought forth some thunders, because it was a battle in the heavenlies. And when cold meets hot, the rending of the veil, the lightning and the rending of the veil, as the cold meets the hot, there's the battle. You understand what I'm saying? One has to be swallowed up of another. Let a man and a woman meet, and there's the battle, until they're swallowed up one of another through the reproduction of children. And then their heart is centralized. You understand what I'm saying? And so then there was a battle. When you see the thunders roll, and you see the lightning, and you see the storms, it's typical of the battle of Calvary, where the Bible said, I read to you here, and Michael stood for his people. And the Bible said there was a great war in heaven. And Satan fought, and his angels fought. And Michael fought, and his angels fought. at the commandment of the Lord. And the Bible said unto Lucifer, prevail not. That old carnal mind of education can roar. She can send the law. She can storm. She can throw us in prison like they did the early church. But the walls of Jericho is going to fall. They're coming down. She can't prevail. She's been in the second heaven. And we're going to cast her out. For when the child was born, he went up to the throne. And the woman went away into the tribulation period, which is America in a typical form, which is the world going away into this 3 years and a half of tribulation, which is that bad government coming in that stands between the millennium and standing between the American age, like the wilderness did between Canaan and between Egypt. You follow me? Or the dark age between Calvary and between this great world that we're living in now. So then, the travail, the child was caught up. The battle was on, for the hot tried to mix with the cold. It is right now that the educational personalities of the world are coming out of college and taking the Ark of the Covenant, which is God's Word, and they're trying to come into the church. And the Bible said, be hot or cold, and we know that we're hot. Hallelujah. How do you know that's true? Because the Bible said we're consuming fire. I'll make my ministers a consuming fire. And they'll consume the stubble. And out yonder we know that they're cold, lost, and undone without God. But now they're mixing and coming together in a religious thing, and the battle is on. At Calvary the thunders uttered. When the battle started, the mumblings and grumblings in the churches I spoke of not too long ago is the thunders and the sharp cutting words of friction. The lightning that's cutting between the people. And during that time, the wandering stars that I spoke of a little bit earlier, those stars that won't hold a post of duty, won't give a dime to the work of God, won't do nothing for the Lord, have a personality that's interested in the things the world are wanting to hear and there, never satisfied in any place you put them. Whether it's on a job or whatever. You follow me? All of a sudden, the mumbling and the grumbling and the wandering stars begin to fall from heaven. Oh, listen, folks. Listen to me. Those stars that are little suns, that power, heat draws, and it's holding those wandering stars up there, Jim. They're staying up there. Them that are spots and blemishes in your feast of charity, they're up here in this heavenly realm of grace, but it's because you're holding them up there. You're hot. And it's through your prayers that you're drawing them up to you in the grace of God as you pray and hold them up there in that realm until God gets through. But when the bowels of compassion are closed, the days of the Gentiles is over and those stones will drop down to the earth. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean they'll quit being religious. They'll realize that you done gone into a realm they can't follow you in. That the Red Sea is about to close up on them. And they'll, when they begin to realize this, they'll drop back in that old mind of lust, that old worldly way of life, and they'll really turn loose. And men will be worse and worse. You can't even walk on the streets. It'll be so bad, so horrible, when they realize the church world is already raptured out, sealed in, and gone. And they're going to realize it pretty quick now. The coming in of the Jews is going to show that. So then, with the thunders, there Jesus said, I beheld during this great battle, Michael and his angels prevail. And there during this great battle, I beheld, he said, and Satan came from heaven, was cast down to the earth. He was cast out of the heavens. I beheld him, Jesus said, as lightning fall from heaven. And he said, when the Son of Man cometh, don't let him say he's in the desert or in the secret places. He said, for as the lightning flashes from the east unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. One way to look at that is it'll be quick in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Quick lightning is sharp, cutting quick. Happens from one end of heaven to the other. He said he would gather the elect. Now I'm not going to try to get into that, but I just want to close out here in a few thoughts. The thunders uttered their voice when John stood there and took the little book. the thunders uttered the voice. When Calvary took place, the mumbling and the grumbling and the awes of the people rose up, and the words of the people rose up, and some were screaming and some was crying, and the rumbling among the waters took place, and some were saying, most assuredly this must have been the Son of God. The rocks rent in twain. The heavens turned dark. Oh, the things begin to rumble and begin to roar. And Satan was cast out of heaven because the crucifixion of the Son of God typified the wrath of God upon the body of sin. And that's why today I say that in your minds there is no Satan. In your world there is no Satan. God has destroyed him that hath power over death. He does not exist in your world because you're caught up into the heavens. You follow me? You're caught up into the heavens. The woman itself, which goes through the tribulation, was still in the second heaven. It didn't say that she left the grace of God, but Satan lost the grace of God. And the world out yonder, the carnal mind, is going to lose the grace of God. They can't stand the second heaven. When this thing is over, the grace of God will be over. They'll be back in the earth. And woe to the inhabitants of the carnal mind. For he is among you. He personifies himself. And then he sets up a kingdom as Antichrist with his little machines that he's got out yonder, 666, that you know, and the computers are out there right now waiting. Everything is set. Everything is just right for what he said would happen. The woman with the foot on the moon, the computer's out there waiting. And Brother Branham speaking of next year being the end, and the psychic speaking of this year being the detrimental thing, and God speaking to me in a vision saying Atlanta's gone. John said, I saw the nations, the cities of the world crumble to the earth. That means, my brother, that Satan has been cast out at Calvary, and we're just now comprehending it to find that we are victorians, that we're this side of death and the law, and we are eternal, and we don't have to die, that we own heaven and earth, and we pass from death unto life, and we are alive forevermore. Though we were dead, yet we're alive forevermore. Stand is more than a conqueror through him that loved us. Here we are in this age to understand the message and to believe it, that it might do like it did in the days of Enoch, when Ada Enoch was translated by faith in what God revealed to him. Now is the revelation, which means the revealing to us at this time. You understand what I'm saying? All right, let me say this and we'll close out. Now, that means that when the thunders uttered their voice, the great red dragon lost the battle. Now, you understand what I'm saying? There's quite a bit more I need to bring out, but I know that children are getting restless and I'm losing your attention some here, in that some of you are heavy with sleep. Jesus said, couldn't watch with me 1 hour. But the great red dragon lost his strength. That great red dragon is that blood life and that bloodstream that was called a crooked generation from the time that it came into existence in the garden and left its spiritual estate, having fallen from its first estate. And at Calvary, the blood life was killed. The blood birth was destroyed. It was gone. And Jesus became the first fruits of them that slept in the spiritual awakening of the inner man, which is the Christ, the inner Christ. The battle of the conflict continually between the inner and the outer man. The inner man at last subduing and overcoming through the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening? And the red dragon that John saw in the book of Revelation having the 10 horns. Now, you listening? The 10 horns being the law, the commandments of God, which is the power. For the bloodstream was blood life that was carnal and contrary to God. But sin gets its strength by the 10 commandments, which is the law. And John, seeing the revelation, he beheld the blood life conquered at Calvary and the power of it, which was the law, folded up and laid away. You understand what I'm saying? Taken away. And he was cast out of heaven which means that the blood world and all of them that are of the blood world of the first birth cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. God is a spirit, and we are born of God, and we are quickening spirits, and we are all of heaven and hid with him in heaven. Not going to heaven, we're already in heaven. The Bible brings us this side of Calvary. We just got to believe it, comprehend it, make it manifest just like you would by a stripes your heel to believe it and have your healing. So then, the red dragon, and a lot we could say about that, but we're not going to try to do that. But I want you to see, to bring it to a climax, that when the child was caught up, the dragon went out. Now I know there's a nation, a confederation of nations, of 10 nations coming together. And I know there's going to be a beast that have feet over there like a bear, which we spoke of having to do with Russian communism, a leopard body spotted with many nations, and a lion head, which is going to bring in the strength of the great English people, bringing it in. We understand that this thing is a constitution, and that you are called brute beast if you're not born again. It's his membership coming together in the head, just like the membership of Christ. Now, I understand that. But in the spiritual dimension, going into the physical realms, where we can understand from that the spiritual thing which God did. You understand what I'm saying? That is death. The spirit of Satan lives in the bloodstream. That's why God rejected Adam's bloodstream and brought forth a new blood, which was virgin blood, brought it forth, and he himself, God the eternal spirit, lives in that virginity blood. And we have within our veins royal blood flowing through our veins, and the new life, which is in the blood cell or the seed, is within us. You understand what I'm saying? Therefore, our nature and our image will not be despised in the morning, because we are conforming to the image of the Son of God, as we swear to our own heart in letting the old man die. I want you to stand with me. If that is true, now has come strength. Now has come power. Why can't we believe it if it is true? Because to as many as believe, now is come this power. To them gave he this power. To as many as were predestinated, they are believers. And now is come that power. To them that believe, the power to change this outer form to become the sons of God. That's redemption of the body. How many understand what I'm saying?